Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Blue Apron. Check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/ghost.
There was definitely something that happened to these people that was earth-shattering and completely has shaken up their lives.
If you want access to the best real ghost stories,
I think she was afraid that they were going to make her little friend go away.
Real accounts of the dead coming back to life.
She had a spirit that she had gotten very close with.
Real video and images of ghosts.
A little boy.
Then you need to be an extra podcast person, also known as an EPP. Sign up to be one for only $5 a month at ghostpodcast.com.
I stared transfixed as the mist began to gradually become more solid and translucent, and to my shock, more human in appearance.
Your support is what keeps our show on the air. For only $5, you'll have access to hundreds of EPP exclusive episodes, updated weekly, exclusive video content, and more.
Behind me in my kitchen, I hear a little girl say, "Are you my daddy? Where's my daddy?"
Keep us on the air and get access to the best ghost stories and more now at ghostpodcast.com. And thanks for your support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. The phone number 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost story with us. Of course, you can write in on the website realghoststoriesonline.com, or you can email me your audio file and send it to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. So lots of ways to get your stories to us. On today's episode, calls, your stories that way. Looking forward to hearing those. Of course, if you want to interact with us, you can comment on any of our shows. We do a lot of that up there on Facebook, Real Ghost Stories Online. Find us there. Twitter at Ghost Story Radio, Instagram at Ghost Podcast, and Snapchat at Ghost Podcast. Lots of creepy photos being posted on a lot of those platforms over the last, by the time you hear this, the ones we're referencing today would have been posted around the, 17th, 18th, right around there.
Uh-huh.
Of, what is it, March?
March.
Yeah, 2017. So if you're catching this in 2020 and you're like, oh my god, I want to see those pictures, page back to 2017 and right around March 17th, 18th, right, I think it was the 18th was the day that we posted quite a few creepy ones of a lovely little homestead.
Mm-hmm.
That we were driving by, and I what's awesome about this area is there's just so many of these places, and it's just, these go back. These are not just like, oh, there's the abandoned house that was probably let go in 85 and now cats reside there. These are like way back.
Yeah.
This is like Little House on the Prairie back.
Some of them, a lot of them, you know, Great Depression got them.
Yeah. And these, I mean, it's amazing what a lot of these folks had. I mean, they're not large buildings by any means, but there's sheer numbers of buildings in a lot of the homesteads, because they had to have a building for doing this and have a building for doing that and mm-hmm. a building for this. So it's almost like it's like you're walking into a little town in some of these these homesteads that exist. Only reference I can make, I mean, if you're familiar with how that looks historically, then you know what I'm talking about. If you're wanting a more creepy aspect and you played video games, it's kind of like going into some of the areas in the video game Resident Evil 4, where it's kind of shacks of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
And there's creepy, you know, there's no creepy zombies chasing me around, but there might as well be in some cases.
Yeah.
So we're driving down the road, and we already knew the road that we're not going to name the road or anything like that, because we don't want to like send people to a place that they shouldn't be. And we never go past no trespassing signs. That's kind of our rule of, if we see that, okay, that's fine. But if there is no trespassing sign, and it's not like digging into someone's, you know, property, you know, far, if it's just like right there, it's you know, you can look. So wanted to take some pictures of this little house,
uh-huh.
essentially, that you've saw or you've seen. I had not seen it before. That was just on the corner of this road, and I didn't even know it was there. So we stop. You want to go and take a picture? sure, I'll just go take a picture. It's right there.
Yeah, I'd passed it a couple times, and I'm always scouting out creepy places for pictures for the show.
There's no trespassing signs up. There's no one that lives there and probably hasn't for 60, 70, 80 years.
And it's right on the edge of this road. You're not going way back. Yeah.
So it was a way, it was very easy just to essentially walk through the ditch and then take a picture. So I did, like, yeah, that looks really neat. I'm going to go take a picture of that. So went and took some pictures of the little area. It was kind of grown over in some spots, and then some spots remarkably not. Like, remarkably just paths. And almost as if, like, oh, this is, and maybe it's because other people do go back there and take pictures too. I don't know. Uh-huh. But I went back and I did feel just kind of calm. I didn't feel really creeped out. It was kind of a nice sunny day, but, there was a lot of buildings, everything from a chicken coop to like this little basement-y cell-ish area, that I thought was probably just a garage with no roof anymore that was kind of built into a hill.
Or store things to keep them cooler.
Yeah.
A lot of places do that.
Sure. It could have been like a root cellar.
Mm-hmm.
There was, we could tell what were barns and some other outbuildings. The house itself was gone, but you could see the foundation. And so I took some pictures, and you can see those up on Facebook, and they're good and creepy. And that's all I knew of it. And then we left, and at lunch, you started looking up the place. And
I started Googling the area to see if I could figure out whose homestead it was. And I always want to know the backstory. Just like when you guys share stories, I always want to know the backstory. Yeah. So I'm doing this, and I start to find some pretty disturbing things. And
these are not confirmed yet. This is a lot of... to me, it's still falling into the urban legend territory because I haven't found anything confirmed on it yet, nor have I dug other than Googling.
Mm-hmm.
But I do want to dig a little bit more. But so the urban legend, without saying the names of anybody or any locations, what's the urban legend story of the property?
That a family, it was a husband and a wife and a little girl that lived there. And there was something not quite right with the little girl back in the day before they really,
before you could get help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And knew what that was. And so instead of letting her, have a fairly normal life, they pretty much kept her prisoner in a kind of sunken room with bars on the windows.
Yeah. Allegedly.
And anyway, she had enough and killed them both.
And disappeared.
So that's the story. And then because of the legend of that, it apparently was a popular teenage hangout through like the 80s and 90s, when that story kind of, I guess, resurfaced.
Yeah.
And the house had since burned down. And it's either because somebody burned it down on purpose to stop it from being an attraction or kids burned it down on accident being out there. So that's kind of the story.
Either way, creepy story.
Yeah.
And being out there, I don't know. I like I said, I didn't get any vibes. I usually don't. I'm not the first to pick up on a lot of those things, though, either. But it was just like, oh gosh. And I'm wondering if any of the story is true or what parts are, or what's the inspiration for this, or if this is just one big bullshit teenage story that... you tell the next generation to freak them out, and ooh, we're going to go out to this area. Anyway, it's the stuff of childhood legends, if you will. But the fact that the setting does exist, what I found with a lot of like childhood legends and rumors and things of that nature is they'd say, you go out there and then this is over there. And not much of it would be there, if anything. Or like the big bridge, that supposedly does this or that. You're picturing this big covered bridge and it's just like a little concrete slab.
Yeah.
The fact that one could tell this story to another generation and then that generation could go out there and take a look at this and, oh my God, this whole area exists.
And the sunken room.
It's creepy.
If that's what it was.
Yeah. So... anyway, pictures are up, and I'm going to do a little more digging in the area to see if I can find anything to validate the story or debunk it. Either way, it's creepy.
Yeah.
So there you go. You want to see some creepy stuff, that's up on the website. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. And before we get into our next call here, Blue Apron. These guys have been now supporting the show for quite a while. We've been using them for even longer, and it's just, it's good stuff, especially, you know, summer's coming around. It's soon, hopefully. Mm-hmm. It's getting warmer. It was like 90 today, so it feels like summer. But as all that comes around, you got, you know, the kids are doing this, they're doing that. Getting to the grocery store, not the easiest thing. With Blue Apron, the ingredients, the fresh, high-quality ingredients, they show up on your doorstep with full color instruction pages that are so easy to follow. Even if you're not a great cook, this will make you a great cook. It's it couldn't be easier, and it's very, very affordable with meals coming in less than $10 per person. It's just good stuff, and a lot of variety in what you can get as well. We've been using it now, like I said, for about 2 years or so, and just really... really quality stuff. You can check out this week's menu and get your first three meals absolutely free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/ghost. Some of the stuff that they have this month on the menu: spinach and feta mozzarella pizza with olives, bell peppers, and ricotta. Sweet and sour salmon with bok choy, carrot, and ginger fried rice. Parmesan crusted chicken with creamy fettuccine and roasted broccoli. Baby broccoli and fontina paninis with hard boiled egg and arugula salad. It's good stuff. It tastes good, and you know, it's better than I think almost anything you can get at a restaurant in most cases. So anyway, check it out right now. BlueApron.com. /ghost. Get your first three meals free with free shipping. BlueApron.com/ghost. You'll love how good it feels. It tastes. Create incredible home cooked meals. Blue Apron. Don't wait. BlueApron.com/ghost. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. Check it out and help support the folks who keep us on the air. Let's go to caller. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Ginny. My name is Daniel, and I'm from Danbury, North Carolina. Small little tongue, you probably don't know where it is. Anyway, I called in a few months ago, not long after I found the show, and I shared a few stories. One was a bunk bed story, and the other was about me seeing this little creature walk across my the threshold of my door. And it was like really short. It had like three horns, and I think it was holding a cane or something. Thought it was my brother. Anyway, I actually have another kind of longer ghost story for you, and I just heard on one of your more recent podcasts that, you were making a book. I'm not sure if that's already passed or anything, but, yeah, I'd totally love, this story to be considered into the book, because it is a pretty lengthy one, sort of. But anyway, I'll just get right into it. So I was told the story... from my dad when I was 15. My real dad lives in Lexington, North Carolina, and he's got a house that's, it's not really a double wide, it's just like a regular, you know, three bedroom, one bathroom house. So it's not too big, but it's not too small. Anyway, there's a hallway in the back of it, and when you walk down this hallway, the first door on your left is the bathroom. Right across the bathroom was my old room. If you keep going down the hall just a few feet, to the left was his old bedroom when I was younger, and to the very back right was a room we called the green room, because it had green carpet, green paint on the walls. It was a really ugly room. But we called it the green room. Anyway, he told me that every morning when I was younger, and I used to sleep in my crib at his house, that he would wake up and hear me, like, you know, calling for him or talking or just, like, you know, crying or something. And he would, you know, wake up at like 7 o'clock in the morning, like, "Hey, buddy, what are you doing? Like, you ready to get up and stuff?" And I'd be like, "Yeah." And this was like when I was like 1-2 years old, obviously. I was in a crib. Well, two things he told me. He said one thing happened a while back was he heard like a thud, and I was probably like one at the time, so, you know, I mean, I don't know how agile one-year-olds are with climbing. I'm sure some are better than others, but he said he came like running into the room, and I was just like sitting in the middle of the floor out of my crib, just like playing with my toys. And he had no idea how. I mean, he thought the thud was me, like, falling out of my crib. And, I mean, the walls of a crib, they're pretty tall. I mean, like, that's a pretty long fall for a baby, for one thing. But, you know, either way, he kind of wrote it off. And I did, too, at the time. Now it's kind of weird. But the next thing is the creepier thing. And I wouldn't really call myself too sensitive, but I've had a few things happen to me. I've got a few more ghost stories that I'm going to call in and share. But anyway, the main thing was that one morning, I was in my crib. It was about 6, 7 o'clock in the morning. He heard me talking. Again, you know, he didn't really think too much of it, but he just sat and kind of listened for a minute. I wasn't crying, and I wasn't, like, just yelling or anything, but I was talking. Like, I was having a conversation. I was probably, like, 1.5, 2 years old. I was probably about 2. And, he kind of, you know, listened for about 30 seconds, and then he got up and he walked in there, and I was, like, standing at the edge of my crib, like, with my arms over it, and I was looking at the doorway. And he was like, "Hey, buddy, who are you talking to?" And I was like, "Where'd she go?" He's like, who are you talking about?" I was like, "The girl. The little girl in the green dress. Like, where did she go?" And he just kind of, like, he was pretty creeped out by that, obviously. Because he's a believer in ghosts and stuff. And he was like, "There is no little girl." Like, and I was like, "Yeah, she was just right there. She was talking to me." And I think he asked me, like, what she said, but he couldn't remember what I had said, unfortunately. That would have been really cool if he'd have known. But anyway, so, you know, years go by. And, you know, I don't think I ever, he ever heard or saw of the green girl, the girl in the green dress. So that was a little creepy. But the creepiest part was when I was about 17, we were cleaning out the green room, and, you know, we walk back there, and they have these old closet doors that are, like, in the walls, like, that slide or whatever. They don't open out, they just slide, and there's, like, I don't know, 2 or 3 feet of wall, I mean, of, like, shelves and stuff that you could put your stuff in. And so we were just, like, cleaning that closet out back there, and stuck behind one of the drawers was a picture. And, I mean, you can already guess. Like, I picked it up, and it was a little girl, like, 5 years old. Or she looked 5 years old. And, like, I looked at the picture, and she was, like, blonde-haired. She had a little bow. I can't remember what color it was. I think it was white. But she had, like, a little green and white frilly dress on, and, like, white socks with those black, like, church shoes that little girls wear. And I just had this, like, wave of, I know who this girl is. Like, it's just, like, Kathy. Like, that was just the first word in my mind. Like, it was Kathy, just, I don't know why. And, like, I turned around and on the back, and it said, like, K. Sylvester or something, like Kathy Sylvester. It just said K. Dot Sylvester, and it said, I think it was 1973, and then it had a dash, and it said 1980. So, like, from 1973 to 1980, I guess that was, like, her age, and she had passed away when she was 7 years old. I don't know. And then, like, the family before had kept a picture of her and lost it. Because the way we found this picture, it was, like, you know, not really stuff, but it looked like it fell off the top of something and got wedged back there. So maybe when the people moved out, they didn't see it. I didn't really do any research into the house before it was, like, before my dad got it and everything. But obviously there was a family beforehand. I'm not sure, like, if they, like, if they were the ones that had the little girl and she passed away, or even if they relayed that information to my dad whenever he bought the house. But either way, I thought it was really creepy. And the worst part of it was I was 15 years old, so I just kind of, like, I was still kind of scared of stuff, like, because I didn't know a lot. But we were the only ones in this house, me and my dad. So that night, I was so creeped out. Like, I was like, why did you tell me this story? Like, now I'm going to be freaking out, thinking there's going to be a little dead girl, dead ghost girl, coming into my room. And, like, whenever my dad, like, I don't talk to my dad anymore. But he didn't have heat in his house. He would have this, like, little bitty tiny electrical heater he would just, like, put at the edge of my doorway. And, like, pray to God, that would, like, heat my pretty decently sized room up. And it never did, so it was always freezing cold in there. Like, it was down in the low 50s some nights. Especially on, like, winter nights, I would have, like, an army blanket on. But it would always be so cold in that room. And you could just, like, even if you didn't believe in ghosts or if you'd never heard of a ghost story, you would always be creeped out in that house. It was just so quiet and in the woods. And so I could totally understand if, you know, something creepy was going on down there. But I have a few more ghost stories involving me staying with my dad. And I'll talk about those in another episode. Love you guys' show. Thank you for listening to my ghost story, and I hope it can be put into your book if it's long enough. And either way, I wish you guys a Merry Christmas. It's like mid-December when I'm sending this in, so I don't know how long it's going to be before you guys play this, but I hope it's soon. Thank you guys. Love your show. See you later. Bye.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
So there you go. I mean, it's interesting. Some calls are that far back, mm-hmm. And some, you know, honestly, I think what happened with that one is because I don't think I'm quite back into December with a lot of calls. But sometimes when we do a show, a call gets bumped to the next show,
especially if it's a longer one.
Yeah, and that was a longer one, and I think it might have been bumped for several episodes, and that's where it ended up going. So, yeah. Creepy stuff.
I completely think it's a human ghost when you can look at a picture and it's the person that you are seeing within the house, mm-hmm. And then you suddenly know things about them, like he knew the name,
mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think there's anything really malicious there. It's just a little girl that's still around,
and nothing malicious happened either.
No,
I mean, sometimes where you get the malicious things, but hey, it seems to resemble a human that was here at one time. What's going on with that? Sometimes I think things can certainly take that form to feel safe, but in this case, I think it really just was mm-hmm. Little ghost girl you got there. So thanks for the call and the story. 855-853-4802 is our number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi.
My 2-year-old daughter, at the time she was 2, was always seeing things. We moved into our first real home, and we were saying prayers and all of that, and she says, Mommy, the little girl won't stop talking. And I'm like, teehee, that's so cute. You know, she must have an imaginary friend. And I said, well, is she still here talking right now? And she said, yes, and I can't pray with her talking. And I said, okay, little girl, you be quiet now. And my daughter says, okay, she's quiet. And we continued with our prayers. And I could see by looking at my daughter's face, she was scared. You know, that kind of haunted look they get with the big eyes, and they're very still. And I said, is the little girl still here? So now I'm starting to get creeped out. And she says, yes. And I said, well, where is she? And of course the child has to say, behind you. So naturally I look behind me really quickly. I see nothing, but I've got chills all over me. I can hardly think, and I'm getting really scared. And I said, well, what does she look like? And she described her. She described her dress, the color of her hair. And remember, the kid's only two, so she's only seen so many things. And I said, all right, little girl, you have to leave right now. And I looked at my daughter, and I said, is she gone? And my daughter says, yes. Okay, so I think that's the end of it. Maybe she's got an active imagination. Okay. So the entire time that we lived in that house, my daughter would be saying, shut up, be quiet, in the middle of the night. And I'd be saying, Mia, go to sleep. Time for bed. Stop talking. Because I'm thinking she's playing with her stuffed animals or something. And finally she says, well, she won't be quiet. The little girl won't be quiet. And I asked her if the little girl had a name. The little girl's name was Sarah. I called the landlord. The landlord said he'd never heard anything like this. And he probably thought I was crazy because I was asking him if anyone had passed away in the house or if any other tenants had said anything like this. So eventually we moved, and I thought, okay, good, no more little girls talking to my daughter in the middle of the night. The next place we moved was by far the worst. We moved in with my in-laws, and really old, old farmhouse. And my daughter comes in crying to me, there's a dog out the window. Well, it's a farmhouse, that makes sense. So, you know, maybe she was looking out the window and saw a dog in the yard. She's not afraid of dogs. I don't know why she would say that, but we go and we look out the window, and I say, do you still see the dog, honey? And she's like, oh, yes, he's right there. And I'm like, right where? And I'm not seeing a dog or anything. And she says, right there. And I said, do you mean on the ground outside? And she says, no, he's in the window. And finally, I understand she doesn't mean he's standing in the window. He's floating outside the window. And I say, and of course I'm totally creeped out. And I say, okay, so the dog's floating around outside your window right now. Yes. Okay, well, that's even worse than a little girl. I don't want a dog floating out the window. So to make a long story short, I had her sleep in my room. And she said, there's no dog in this room. Oh, good. Glad to hear that. Move on to the next house we move into. Our next house was even worse. I'm standing at the kitchen window doing dishes, and now I have another child. My two-year-old has now become four, so we've fast-forwarded several years. My four-year-old is playing in the yard. I'm watching her through the kitchen window. We do have a dog now. He's a big protective dog. There's a 6-foot privacy fence around the yard. I see my oldest four-year-old playing, and the two-year-old, youngest, is just out of sight. And I'm watching my daughter, and I see the color just drain from her face. And she's looking in the direction of the door, the way that I would leave the kitchen to go out to the backyard where the kids are. And it frightened me. It was so apparent that she saw something scary that I thought maybe her sister had fallen down or something. So I rush out there and I say, honey, what's wrong? And she says, the dog. And so I think, okay, maybe our dog is hurt. And I call the dog, and the dog comes. And I see that her sister's playing, and her sister's okay. She's, you know, playing with whatever she's got. And my oldest daughter says, I have to go in, I have to go in. So we go inside, and I say, honey, what did you see? And she says, I saw a dog, and he had black eyes. And I'm like, you saw a dog with black eyes? I'm like, well, was it Cody? Was it our dog? And she says, no, it was a yellow dog with black eyes. And he growled at me. And so we, you know, kind of blew that off. And then, as we continued to stay in that house, things got worse and worse. We would wake up in the morning, and all the cabinets in the kitchen would be open. We had it to where, and the electrician came out numerous times. Nothing was ever wrong when he came out. All of the lights in the house would go out except the lights in my bedroom and the hallway light. That's it. All the other lights were out. They would not work. There were no fuses blown. There was nothing wrong with the electricity. Everything else was fine. We had the electrician out a million times. And when the cabinets were open, we just closed them all up again. My four-year-old daughter started having nightmares, and she would be crying and saying things like, she's going to get hurt, she's going to get hurt. And she would sleepwalk. My youngest daughter started seeing things, saw a child sitting at our table doing homework, thought it was a real person, asked me who was over and why they were doing their homework at our house. I saw no one. I had two roommates, and the male roommate, who was dating my friend, would take a shower, and he got three scratches on his shoulder, more than once. Another time, they had gone to bed, and they heard growling, so he turned on the light, thinking it was our dog. The dog wasn't in there, and he heard it again. Both of them came racing out of the bedroom. Another time, same thing, they came racing out of the bedroom, and I went back there to investigate, because that's just silly. And it sounds crazy to say it. I know it sounds crazy, but I'm telling you, it's real. It really happened. On the sheets, there were little tiny handprints, like a child's handprints, and it looked like bloody handprints all over the sheets. Where they had just been laying, they were just there. They were just there. They heard the growl. They came running out. Another time when the electricity was out, except in my bedroom, my roommate and I went in there, and I said, okay, if this is really a ghost, turn off the light, since you love lights. The light went off, and I'm like, oh, okay. And I said, all right, turn it back on. Turn back on. And I did this twice in a row, and I said, all right, third time's the charm. If there's really someone here, it's going to happen a third time. And I said, all right, turn off the light. Light went off. And at that point, my roommate ran and screamed out of the room. I'm in a dark room, and I said, turn the light back on. It turned back on, and then I ran and screamed also out of the room. So now we've got a dark house except my bedroom in the hallway. Of course, the lights don't work. Another time I was sleeping in my room, and again, this is one of those things that sounds crazy, but it really did happen. I don't tell people about this because they think I'm crazy. I heard growling. I was not asleep. I was in bed. I was going to sleep, and I sat up in bed, and I looked at the corner where I heard the growling, and for all the world, I saw a werewolf. It looked like a werewolf. It was this big, dark, looking like its furry shape, and it had red eyes, and it growled again. And I was so terrified, I couldn't move. I was sitting up, so I wasn't laying down. Like in sleep paralysis, I was sitting up, and I couldn't move. And my daughters hear me, and they say, Mommy, are you okay? And I'm fine. My roommates hear me. They come running back. And I kept saying, you know, turn on the light, turn on the light, turn on the light. The one time my bedroom light doesn't turn on, because remember, the electricity thing affected every other room except mine. This time my light wouldn't turn on. And I kept saying, do you see it? Do you see it? My roommate saw it. Her boyfriend did not. And she says, oh, my God, a guy in the corner. And I said, he's big, he's big. And I still couldn't move. Like, I could turn and I could look at her. And so she and her boyfriend both climbed in the bed with me, and we closed our eyes and we prayed. So then we started putting Bibles open to the 23rd Psalm all throughout the house. We actually went to church. We went to church to tell somebody, and we were there, and we stayed through the service. And at the end of the service, I was going up to talk to the preacher. And I don't know what stopped me. I don't know why I didn't talk to him, but I didn't. It's kind of like when you live in a place like that for so long, or at least this is the running theory, you start to, like, get used to it. It's really scary, but it almost, I don't know. It's kind of like when you sit on a couch and the couch kind of forms to your hiney and you're just used to sitting there. That's kind of what it's like. You just don't do anything. And so we had all three gone to church with the intent of talking to the preacher, and all three of us walked right out, didn't say a word. We had a frequent shadow man visitor. Our front door was two French doors, and it had the windows so you could see someone walk up, and it had see-through curtains So anytime someone walked up, you saw their shadow walk across in front of the glass windows, and then they would knock. It happened all the time. We would see someone come up to the door. They would knock. Nobody's there. It got to the point where we wouldn't even get up because we knew if we had company, all the company was already there. So there was one night we were actually expecting someone to come over. My friend and I were sitting on the couch waiting, and knock, knock, knock. We saw the shadow. It was shaped like our friend that we were expecting. So we got up together. We looked at each other, and then we get to the door. We open the door. There's no one there. But not only is there no one there, but we didn't open the door and see, like, the front yard and the porch and the little fence. We opened the door and saw nothing. It was completely black. We opened the door to nothingness. We both saw it. It happened to both of us. So it's not like, I was having a dream and this is how the dream came about. We opened the door to blackness. And I said, "You may not come in." And I closed the door. And my friend and I walked back to the couch, again touching shoulders as we walked back to the couch. We both sat down in unison. And we looked at each other and said, "That was the Shadow Man. That was the Shadow Man." And this time we opened the door. And fast forward to Halloween. Okay, so we decided, for whatever reason, that we were going to dabble in witchcraft. Okay, so I have three roommates. There's two girls and one guy. And so obviously this is going to cause even more problems. So we all cast a spell. Then we went to the mall for trick-or-treating. Took the kids. After the kids went trick-or-treating, we dropped them off at their dad's house. And while we were trick-or-treating, we went by the tuxedo shop, and we got our candy. And there's this guy there, and he's really cute, and he says hi to me. And I say hi to him. He's dressed as a vampire in a tuxedo. And I think, wow, that's nice. And he says, come back tomorrow. And I'm thinking, okay, this will be nice. I'll come back tomorrow. So I do go back tomorrow. And I say, "Hey, I'm looking for..." I don't remember his name now, but he gave me his name. And they're like, "There's no one here like that." And I said, sure there is. He was here yesterday. He was dressed as a vampire. Long blonde hair, blue eyes, had on one of your tuxedos. And they both were like, "No, we were here yesterday. We were working. And there's no one here like that. No one at all. No one by that name. No one by that description." I'm like, "He gave me candy. He told me his name." And they're like, "Lady." So I'm okay. I leave. And we go home. And my roommates and I were talking about it. And man, all the time. And I mean, I don't really believe in vampires. But who was that guy then? Was he a real vampire? One of my roommates believes in vampires. And I don't know. To this day, I look back on it and I wonder, I kind of doubt myself. I mean, yes, there was a real person there. Maybe it was a trick. I don't know. Moving on. The biggest thing in that house was the electricity, the Shadow Man. Everybody saw the Shadow Man. All of my company, all the kids, everybody. And then after we're there, because as you live there or as I live there, it just got worse and worse. So now we hear screaming all the time. And at first it scared me, I was really frightened, and then it became natural. Just heard screaming. It was a woman screaming. We had someone over to paint, and she says, "Hey, I heard someone scream three times, and then I heard a crow." I'm like, "You heard a crow?" Like, yeah, the screaming's normal, we hear it all the time, ignore it, but we haven't heard a bird. She goes, "Yeah, I heard a crow call like three times." I'm like, "Well, that's weird." Didn't think much of it. We had somebody over to fix the attic fan. He fell off the ladder. He fell into the big plate glass window. He cut his arm very badly. He had been there a couple more times. The time before that, he dropped the washing machine, or maybe it was the refrigerator, on his toe and broke his toe. Another time, he was there to fix the dishwasher, and he got shocked. Well, this time he fell off the ladder and fell into the plate glass window and cut his arm. And we called his wife and we called an ambulance and all of that, and he said, I'm never coming back here. This place is cursed, and you kids here are cursed. I'm never coming back here. That scared us. My youngest daughter, she was two at the time, came to me and told me that my oldest roommate was in my female roommate was in the bathtub, and the bathtub was full of blood. Well, my roommate was not in the bathtub. She was standing next to me. So we can only attribute it to her sleepwalking. Her eyes, my daughter's eyes were open. She was looking right at me. And she said, you know, we'll call Lisa. We'll call my roommate Lisa. She says, Lisa's in the bathtub and it's full of blood. She just sat up in the bathtub of blood. Scared me to death because my roommate was right next to me. Our other roommate, the other female roommate, was at work. And she said, Lisa, my roommate, who was standing next to me. So I'm guessing it was a dream. On our way home one night, my roommate Lisa and I are driving. We go past the bank, and the bank is closed. And we see what looks to be a very large German Shepherd walking across the very well-lit bank parking lot. And we happen to be sitting at a stoplight, so we had plenty of time to look over at the bank. And I said, huh, look, a dog. And she says, yeah. And right then, the dog turns to us, and he smiled. The dog smiled. He showed many teeth. His eyes were deep, deep black. I've never had a dog smile at me, but I looked at her and she looked at me, and we both clearly had seen the same thing. The terror that we felt at seeing that dog smile and show all those teeth and those black eyes is indescribable. It just goes through your body. She was driving. She ran the red light. And as we got some several miles away from the bank, going towards where but home, the place where everything bad happens anyway. And I said, the dog smiled. And she said, yeah. It had black eyes. And I said, yeah. So we both saw it. Absolutely terrifying.
So there you go.
There's so much that happened that I don't really know where to begin.
Needless to say, haunted life for sure. At first I was thinking, well, maybe, you know, when it was the talk of the children and the daughter initially, it was, well, maybe you're not sensitive to this. And the daughter clearly is. And that's what we had going on there initially. But then as the story progressed, and sounds like she started having more and more experiences herself.
Yes.
Where she was picking up on these things, you know, or these things were just becoming that much stronger around her in her life, which is, I'm kind of leaning towards that.
Well, and I wonder how much of it was because of maybe the combination of roommates or somebody within that group. Because most of these things happened when she was with someone.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it was the same someone, but she was with someone when almost all of the things that she described happened.
Sure. And there was the roommates there for a while. There was friends. It was the daughter. There was, yeah.
Right. And most of the time, if it's just you that it's haunted, it seems to be you're the one that's picked on, but then they hide it for everybody else, so mm-hmm. nobody believes you, so you really can't tell anybody.
Oh, nonetheless, quite the haunted life.
Yes,
it very much sounds like it. Thanks for sharing your story with us. Let's do one more caller. Hi.
Hey, Brewskis, been listening to your podcast for about a week now, and I'm hooked. You guys do great. Keep up the good work. So I'm going to tell you my story, a little backstory for my tale is in 2006, I had a close friend commit suicide, and it hit me really, really hard. We were really close, and I still miss her this day. Her name was Kaylee. Anyway, fast forward a few years, and I think it was about 2009, maybe 2010, I was living with my girlfriend, now my wife, and a roommate in an apartment. It wasn't necessarily that old, maybe built in the 70s, but for some reason felt very dark. My wife would always complain of something pulling, touching her feet, and shaking the bed when I wasn't there with her. And our roommate said she always saw a dark figure that wore a fedora hat and a long coat. She said it felt very menacing. Around this time, me and my girlfriend were going through a very hard time in our relationship. We just weren't getting along, stuff like that. As a result, we ended up splitting up for a bit. I still lived in the apartment, so it was definitely very tense. I was very depressed and began to binge drink and fell into a horrible dark place. It's about this time I would regularly have sleep paralysis. I've had it before, but never this severe. It happened every night for months. I would fall asleep and be awakened with about three figures around me. Black, no features, very dark. All three would push on my chest, and I would sink into the bed so deep I could see the mattress start to surround me. I couldn't scream, couldn't move, but eventually would wake up pouring in sweat. Now, like I said, this happened every night for months. I would do anything to not sleep. It terrified me so much that this kept happening until one night, my friend Kaylee, she came to me in a dream. I can't really remember. She said, "Don't worry, it's gonna be okay. You'll be fine." I talked to her for a bit, just asking, you know, how she was and where she was and how she was doing. All she said that she's okay. Everything's okay. Mostly telling me just to be strong and I'll get through it, which eventually I did. Me and my girlfriend eventually patched things up. I cut back on my drinking a lot, and I'd say maybe less than a year we moved out, found another place to live, and everything has been fine since then. No more incidents to report, but that's my story, and hope you guys play it on your podcast, and I hope you guys are doing awesome. You guys are great. Keep up with the good work. Yeah, have a good day.
I think something just took the opportunity of having maybe a little bit of a drinking issue and a recent breakup to suddenly just, ta-da, I'm here, you're haunted now.
I guess it's very sad that his friend passed away, but it's good that there was able to be some good message that came out of it and some coming to the rescue.
Yeah.
It's better than the guy that did the Ocean Spray ads to just show up in your dreams and just start singing "Don't Worry, Be Happy." That would not be as effective.
No, it wouldn't be.
You remember that?
No.
Who sang "Don't Worry, Be Happy"?
Bob Marley.
Was it Bob Marley initially?
I think. I don't know.
There was a guy like in the 80s that did it, and let me look this up.
What does this have to do with anything?
Well, I was just thinking, because he said that the friend came and said, you know, "Don't worry, it'll be okay." Uh-huh. And then when I hear the words "don't worry," my mind immediately goes, "Got a ding and note to note, da-da-da-da-da-da, so don't worry, be happy." I don't know why.
I don't remember that.
The "Don't Worry, Be Happy" song?
I remember that, but not the way you did it.
Maybe because I'm really remembering the Ocean Spray version.
Okay.
Let's see here. "Don't Worry, Be Happy," Ocean Spray. Let's see here. Bobby McFerrin did that version of it in the 90s. And yeah, there you go. There was quite a few of them. He was dancing around on a beach drinking like cran raspberry. And it made everything better.
Okay.
As long as you have a little cran raspberry, it'll get you right out of that funk.
Okay.
Yeah. So there you go. I don't know. The "Don't Worry" is what it triggered that in my mind.
Okay.
So there you go. A little bit of useless knowledge for the day.
I have no words.
That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. I'd play it for you. We could sing along, but I don't want to.
You'll get in trouble, you know, and it's not worth it for that song.
For that song, no. So there you go. If you like the show, help keep us on the air, become an EPP extra podcast person, get all the bonus episodes of our show. Ghostpodcast.com is where you do just that. Thank you in advance for checking that out and helping to keep us on the air. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.